This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show as we were kicking around the NBA playoffs. Rockets and Jazz, obviously, tonight in a late start. 9:30 p.m. from the city of the Great Salt Lake. Will you be up for it? Yeah, literally?
Of course.
Okay.
No. Are you kidding me? Sweeping the Jazz?
You're going to be video gaming.
No. I mean, I might record it and watch it in the morning. Who knows?
Dual screen it. You don't got two TVs in the Laminack Estates?
Got 15 TVs.
Don't act like you don't have a room where there's two screens side by side. Don't even lie.
No, I don't.
You don't?
It is kind
of annoying.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hassle.
Someone
to have two
we work
screens.
With has a setup like that where they had two big screens side by side. I was like, God, big baller rolling. I don't have that.
So I have, when we built the house, we had the idea for a media room. It's called a Texas basement. Which means it's like a fancy attic. It's just easy to get to. It's like a room. So it's a one-story house, but you go up these stairs to the attic, and then the first part of it is just this big room. It looks like storage right now. But the goal was to convert that to a media room and then have multiple screens. I wanted to have like four TVs or something like that, or six TVs. Build like a big screen out of individual TVs. That way I could have multiple things on. None of that has happened yet. It's all just there. So no, in order to watch two things, I either have to get my laptop or I'm stuck. I have to flip back and forth or record it and watch it later. I'm not like Jermaine Avery. He'll have Game of Thrones on the laptop and the Rockets on the screen at the same time.
Yeah, because they'll post it. I've seen it.
I have ADD. I can't do that. I want to watch one thing. That's it. I can't. I'll get confused, and I don't, because I feel like we have to come in and be educated enough to talk about what we saw, whether it's Game of Thrones or the Rockets. I mean, not that y'all talk Game of Thrones, but I'm just saying in general, if we're watching stuff, we got to be able to talk about it. And I can't. I can't focus on it. So
sometimes you got to hear it too, because there are keys that the audio brings to the table.
Yeah, and then you have people like my friend has a setup. It kind of looks like Phil Still's setup. I don't know if you've ever seen his studio, but he has like a whole bunch of TVs. My friend has that. But he has subtitles on every TV.
Oh,
so when it's
no.
NFL season, like you can watch all the games at his house, sure. But I feel like it's just a massive scoreboard. Why don't you just get like a ticker?
Yeah.
Because you can't watch 27 games at the same time anyway.
Well, and that's what the red zone's fantastic. Because then you only know, the games are only, at key moments or when they're about to score, which is fantastic. And you can flip back and forth. That's what I do. I mean, I'm watching Texans or Packers and then I'm flipping the red zone during commercials and otherwise so that I can check and see. But I should probably get to the point where I have two screens in the man cave.
I mean, I've thought about it where I got, buy a bunch of cheap flat TV screens and just post them up somewhere. But now I just want like a massive ticker, like a massive like sports update ticker that just tells you everything that's going on, whether it's scores, headlines, whatever. And it's just posted right there on the wall.
At some point, I'm going to design this media room and it's going to be more of a, it's not going to be a movie theater. It's going to have that element because there's no windows. But I really want it to be more of a sports. So I'm probably going to do that. I'm probably going to put a ticker in. But I do want to get multiple screens. But the problem with having multiple TVs that make one screen, that's okay because there's just like this box you buy. And then you run the feed in and it distributes it to the different TVs.
Splits it, yeah.
But if you want multiple games on, you got to have a box for every one of those. Yep. And now I'm going to have to rent four, six boxes and pay the $20 a month rental for $7 a month rental fee for
all generally that. It comes with three, like you can run three TVs on one box. At least that's what my service was.
If you do picture in picture, you can split. You can
that was
split
when I was paying freaking $180 a month, though. It was ridiculous.
Oh, see, like I'm thinking like UVerse.
You have or $150
to have
a month.
I don't think
like
you can split it off UVerse. I hope that would be great, but I think the receiver can only process one channel at a time.
There's an A channel, B channel inputs on every receiver. You should be able to, just because of TVs that have picture-in-picture capabilities, you should be able to split one receiver into two feeds. But anything over that, you probably have to add.
Maybe somebody from UVerse can validate that. It'd be great.
My biggest problem is my damn man cave's so damn comfortable that I'll fall asleep.
See, that
on
was
the late
thing.
Night games, I get so comfy in like the sectional couch and everything with, you know, a blanket and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, just don't anybody bother me. It's soundproof, it's so comfortable. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get to the halftime, like, I don't want to hear what these ass clowns have to say. And I'm like,
yeah.
I wake up, I'm like, whoa, fourth quarter. Gotta rewind what I missed. But it's
I could fall asleep in his media room. It's ridiculous.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really comfortable. You can see all those chairs. It's just, I would pass out in those chairs.
The people I stay with in Fort Worth when I'm up there working, their media room is bonkers. Like, they've got these individual leather recliners that have massage on them.
So
and
just stop by mine.
They've got,
just stop by mine.
You've got those?
Yeah. You know why I have
they've
them,
They've got
though?
The like, it's got remotes on them. So, like, you just, like, you can lay it back. You can set the, I was like, and they've got six. They've got three three of those.
That's amazing. I'd pass out, though.
One of the greatest things of having to deal with my wife being pregnant for 9 months was the fact that I forget who suggested it, but someone suggests you have to get one of those leather recliners with the remote control that will massage and vibrate and go all the way to flat in case she wants to sleep in the recliner. Mm-hmm. I was like, she goes, I think we should get two. One, because at the time we were in a townhouse. She goes, one upstairs in our bedroom and one on the ground, I mean, on the main floor, because depending on what room I'm in, I might not be able to get up down the stairs. And I was like, at the time, I'm going, that's a great idea. Because now, side by side, I have two, anybody that comes in the media room to watch, if they don't want to use the sectional couch, two side on either side, either end of the couch are these recliners. They can go all the way back to flat. They get back massage. They can do all these different things. I'm like, why would you leave?
I wouldn't. I feel like, though, part of the problem is like, we have TVs all over the house. I do most of my TV watching in the living room.
I can see the toilet.
We have the toilet,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
But I do most of my TV watching in the living room or laying in bed. And so I don't know if I'm going to use the media room. Do you use it as much?
I use it during football season religiously.
Because you have multiple TVs in there?
No, because I don't want anybody to hear me screaming at the TV.
Oh, gotcha.
But I don't use it enough outside of football season.
What I'd like to do, though, is I have a problem with waking Nora up at night playing video games in the living room because it's real close to our bedroom, so the light and the noise because I have to have the sound on and all that. So that would be a good reason to have the media room built out, is that I could go upstairs, close that door. Because it's got a weatherproof door on it.
That's my thing.
Because it goes to the attic, so it's like super quiet up there.
It's my bad, really. And actually, I think Lisa's mom was here the last time, and when we were in Dallas for the fight, and Lisa's mom was like, God, it was so easy. I went upstairs and in Joel's media room. It's soundproof, so I had Taylor, and you can sleep, Lisa, and everything like that. And she's like, God, it was so awesome. Joel should do that more often. And I was thinking about it going, yeah, if my lazy ass would just get out of the living room and go up to the media room with Taylor, we both would be much happier because I got this massive screen I could be watching while she's hanging out, not bothering anybody. I need to use it more often than I do.
Yeah. Somebody said, get a badass projector, Barry. Mm. I don't want that, though. I want to be able to have multiple things.
Yeah, then you can't picture in picture and all that.
I just want more. Because I have a screen and I have a projector. I just don't have a newer projector.
Boy, my buddy that I used to work with the Rockets, it lives in the Woodlands, and I was going to poo-poo on it till I saw it. He's got a massive HD projector.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're nice.
Wall-size screen.
Yeah.
And it is clear.
That's the where I go in Fort Worth. That's what they have.
Yeah.
They have a projector, and they have, like, the whole wall is the screen. And they painted it to be the screen. Oh, it's so badass. But I really, with as much sports as I watch, I'd really like to have multiple games on.
Yeah. Well, so. And the thing is, if I leave the double doors to the man cave open, behind me is like a family room with Taylor's with another. I can see another big screen TV, but then I'm looking over my shoulder and going back and forth, and
it just makes it.
I don't like that. Okay, so before we transition off to basketball, Nick and I talked about this off air last week, but I want to get your, because it's kind of a continuation of a conversation we had last week about depending on what your role is in the media.
Mm-hmm.
What questions you ask or don't. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, from a player's perspective, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but Russell Westbrook has made a complete mockery of the beat writer for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And we've had him on our show before.
Okay.
And it's really taken kind of a story of its own out of this series. I want to get your opinions on that. So we'll continue to roll on and get through that as we move forward.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I was this Easter, I was talking to my brother-in-law, Alex, and we were talking about GetUpside, believe it or not, because he's using GetUpside. Everybody that I know is slowly getting on the GetUpside bandwagon. I don't know what you're waiting for if you haven't already, but you need to check it out. It's completely free to download and use. Just go to your app store for your phone. Just look for GetUpside, all one word. Download it. Put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings on your first fill up. And he was raving about that. He was like, man, you know, I've got this, I've got the a company card. I've got friends that have company cards. I put them all on GetUpside. They're all using it, getting that cash back. It's amazing, man, because what boggles my mind about using GetUpside is it doesn't cost you anything. Like, you get this cash back in your pocket for free. Like, you don't pay anything. You literally just get the money back. And the real reason is these businesses want your business. They want you to come in. These gas stations or restaurants, they want you to use them. So that's why they offer you these cash back deals. But you can only get them through the GetUpside app. You can save up to 25 cents a gallon at over 500 gas stations around the city of Houston. And if you remember to put in promo code Barry, you'll get more than that. You'll get extra savings on your first fill up. So above the 25 cents a gallon that you could get. Also, you can get up to 35% cash back at restaurants around the city, Wendy's, Popeyes, Burger King, places you're already eating, you're stopping in. Why leave money at the table? But download GetUpside, put in promo code Barry, and get some of that money back while you eat. And look, it was featured on Channel 13. More and more people that I know are switching and using GetUpside to get cash back because they're already spending the money. So don't waste money. Don't leave money at the pump. Don't leave money at the table. Download GetUpside. Put in promo code Barry. Get all that cash back. Thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back in hour number two, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be. Obviously, very basketball heavy with the playoffs in the NBA right now, and the Rockets looking for a sweep tonight against the Jazz. But I wanted to bring this up and get your guys' opinion. We talked in the past, and Barry, you were talking about when you were at the Rockets game here at home about, and we had a back and forth a little bit about, you know, what the different media people's roles are based on if you're a radio guy or the beat reporter, whatever. But this whole Russell Westbrook, Barry Trammell thing has taken like a life of its own. We've had Barry on the show before because he covers the Thunder, and we've had questions with him. We even had him on to discuss what happened with Russell Westbrook. But for whatever reason, Barry's the beat writer for the Oklahoma City paper, and Westbrook doesn't like him. And we've played some of the audio in the past where it started where he asked Stephen Adams a question about how poorly the Thunder played when Russ wasn't on the floor. Uh-huh. Russ interrupted and said, I don't need you breaking up our team like that, trying to start trouble by asking a guy about what happened. We're gonna, and it really was kind of out there. But that kind of got under Russell's skin. And then it's continued to go from there to where now every time Barry Trammell asks a question, Russell says, next question. Now, last night, he actually listened to the whole question and said, it's a good question. I don't know. And that was it. And so it spurred a big reaction from Kenny and Charles and Shaq and Ernie in studio for about 8 minutes, where they went off on, is Russ being a punk or is this acceptable behavior?
What do you think?
I think, and Charles explained it pretty well, I think that it's okay to be sensitive, to know that there are guys out there that are going to write things, say things, or have opinions on things that maybe you're not going to agree with, you may not like. But I think part of the reason why you're in the position you're in, making the money you are making as a professional athlete, is it's not just going out and playing every night. It's kind of the little things that go along with it. And part of it is talking to the media. Now, you don't have to give them long-winded answers, but you do have to speak to them. You have to answer them.
If there was... I'll just use it in terms of us. Mm-hmm. If this was a dynamic like with me and David Barron, mm-hmm. I'm not going to give that guy anything. If I felt like he's continually disrespected me, this show, and this station, I'm not going to give him anything. He can ask all he wants. I'll answer other reporters' questions that have the mutual respect between the two of us. If I respect them and they respect me. But if I, and I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I'm just saying I can see where if Westbrook feels like this guy's trying to start trouble, he's asking leading questions that are only there to cause controversy and give him a good headline. Because you mentioned that last time. They stay away from that stuff because they don't want to give guys headlines. Or I think it was maybe you, Nick, that was saying D'Antoni's a master of avoiding that so that you don't get a good headline.
Oh, he's really strategic. He's really smart about it.
If I continually feel like you're just doing that, I'm not going to talk to you.
I want you to respond first.
My whole deal is, like, players are required to address the media. So remember, you have a big group of media members answering questions. And so it is important for you to maintain some sort of relationship with them. Now, there's going to be a time where a star player is going to test you, and it's important for you as a media member to stand up to him. And that's kind of what Barry Trammell is doing. The problem is he's a little too aggressive. Why? Because even if he doesn't answer Barry's question, he's answered 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other questions from other media members, and they've addressed that's him. That's satisfying the requirement by the NBA to address the media. So I think I love Barry because he was nice enough to come on our show when we asked tough questions.
Right after it happened,
right after it happened, and he didn't mind. But to a certain extent, he's going to have to maintain some sort of relationship. Sometimes it's the old saying, you don't have to like the people you work with. You just have to be able to work with them, right?
And here's where I was going with this. I understand your point, Barry. If the guy had pissed him off by going crossing the line or being kind of out there on something he said. But for all intents and purposes, Barry Trammell just did his job. They were just basketball questions. And the one that Russell really lost his mind first and got the whole thing started was not anywhere directed at any kind of negativity towards the team. He was just pointing out statistically, hey, when Russell goes off the court, you guys are like a minus 16. Is that something that you guys cross your mind, like, what can you do better to pick up the team or to make sure it doesn't happen? And Westbrook wouldn't even let Steven Adams answer the question. That started it
all. He's done that before.
But it's the same guy.
I know, but I'm saying he's done that before where he'll get upset with them asking a question where it has to do with Russ leaving the floor. I feel like Russ is almost overly dramatic about it to the point where he's like, look, I have a bad rap as being a team player. I have a bad rap as just getting my numbers. So I'm going to show you what a great teammate I am by interjecting and saying, I'm not going to let you ask that kind of question. You're making them look bad. You know what I mean? Like, he's almost playing hero to his team. Like, you guys, you don't have to answer questions about how bad you are when I'm not on the court. Yeah. I'll defend that. It's
here's the thing,
a little extra.
We all know by now there's a soundbite where Russ says, because I just don't like you. Mm-hmm. And it's the same guy. But I get it, because Kenny Smith talked about Fran Blindberry here in Houston when he was playing.
I remember Blindberry.
Pissed him off.
Yep.
And so he didn't talk to him for almost 6 months. And he goes, when I finally had the time to just sit back and look, he goes, that was on me. I didn't handle that the right way. And if it's basketball-related questions, I'll answer it. And what he said was his opinion. And I didn't take that into consideration. As a writer, you have a job to do, and you are paid to give your opinion. It may not jive. And he said, look, NBA guys are sensitive. But Steve Kerr had a great response, and he said, part of the reason why the league is in such a good place right now, which it wasn't years back, was because there's a connection with the players. They love the post-game press conferences. They love some of the fun and games. But the same way, if you're going to tune this guy out, let's be honest, whether it's the Russell Westbrook Foundation or something he's got going on where he wants pub and he wants help and he wants some love from the media, the same people that he's screwing over are going to remember that too. The one reason, one thing where I think Barry Trammell screwed up is he's handled this to where he hasn't put any attention on him and he just keeps trying until recently. I think it was a week ago. He wrote a column on exactly what's transpired to this point and basically to call Westbrook out and say, I still don't know what I did, but this is ridiculous. And I think it's Russell being this and this and this. And that's where I think he made the wrong move.
Yeah. See, I use that big word, exacerbate. I know you like that.
You're going to keep, saying it the entire
that's
show.
That's right.
Exacerbate.
Over here exacerbating.
You thought Nick had to fart because exacerbating? Sounded like that to him.
That's a poor move to go out and write a whole article about it. But to your point about the publicity, Is that really, is the beat reporter really going to be the guy that, that gives him the pub?
One of them. They're going to call him. You know why?
I feel like a lot of times what they do is they'll use the team and their own PR staff to get PR for whatever event they have. If the beat guy gets wind of it or gets info, he'll use it. But I don't think that Russ Westbrook is relying on Barry Trammell to be the PR for whatever thing he's doing with his foundation.
Not solely.
Teams will do it. His PR will do it. If it's included, if Barry covers it, great. But I don't think he would care if Barry doesn't cover it.
I think so. Because, you know, because here's the thing. He won't do it personally. He'll have one of his people contact Barry. But just like, so let's just put it in Rockets perspective, okay?
Real quick on this point. I mean, would you, if I'm beefing with David Barron and then we have something that goes well on the show, do you think I care if David Barron's going to cover it? I don't. I don't care.
I don't think... You, as a show, though, we want publicity for it.
Yeah, but if it doesn't come from David Barron, but it comes from everywhere else, I don't care.
But I get it. But that's why I was where I was going with this, in the fact that, to put it in Rockets' perspective, I think if people want to reach someone that's got their hand on the pulse of everything Rockets, like, everybody's going to go, and they're going to find Rockets information, to your point, all over the place. But one of the main sources they're going to go to is Jonathan Fagan, because they know Jonathan Fagan, and obviously social media changes this to some degree, but Jonathan Fagan is the longtime beat writer of the Rockets. You want something Rockets, you want to know something Rockets, you're going to Fagan. You're going to read his columns. You're going to see what he's talking about. So I think, in part, whether it's the player or his PR agency or the team itself, whenever, speaking from personal experience, whenever they wanted to get the word out on something, they're in part going to go to Jonathan Fagan.
Okay.
So it's just, I think it's a bad look, because it looks like kind of like a little brat. If you're Russell, you could, just like we said, Barry Trammell slipped up and he shouldn't have done that. Russell doesn't come off looking good by the fact that, look, if it's a legitimate basketball question, and again, last night was one of them, where what's the difference between, for whatever reason, you know, Lillard the way he was in the first half and what happens in the third quarter or whatever. And even Russ said, good question. I don't know.
No.
So it's an interesting dynamic, but it's basically a big story in that series right now, because nothing else is, because they're getting their ass handed to them in Oklahoma City. Yeah. So we'll see if that series is over. The one thing that I keep scratching my head at too is, easy for Charles to pick the Blazers to get to, at least to make the finals. They got the best chance because that road is just a cupcake.
Oh yeah,
no Golden really State, is. No Houston until the conference finals.
That's where you. That's why the Rockets wanted to be there.
Yeah, no doubt, and that's why I probably should have won that game in Oklahoma City, and they might be in that position. So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. We've got lots more to get to on the show, and of course, we want you to participate. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call and text, or hit us up on Twitter. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about besthotelrates.com. A lot of us travel, whether we do it with our families and we want to get on a vacation, or we do it for business. But the bottom line is, do we spend enough time really getting the best rates possible on hotels? Well, with besthotelrates.com, they do all the work for you, and it takes a lot of the negotiating out of the process, but more so than anything else, it puts more money in your pocket, gets you better rates on these hotels, because they have deals with over 600,000 hotels worldwide. That means that they have more deals with more hotels than some of the other top quote-unquote companies that want to get your business for booking your hotels. And in the process of doing that, besthotelrates.com, all you got to do is go to the site, plug in your destination, your dates of travel, and just like that, you're looking at discounted rates for many of the hotels that you could pay much more with someone else. And I'm telling you right now, you save that money, you book your hotels through besthotelrates.com, and you realize it's top-notch customer service. If you have issues, they'll take care of you. They'll help and work with you on your reservations, and you will stay safe and secure in some of the top hotels out there. It's a fantastic process, and it's really, really pain-free. Besthotelrates.com, you can start planning your next trip today. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's the big show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be in the big city. The weather's still beautiful out there, so hopefully you're out and about and enjoying it, whether on your lunch break or otherwise. We had kicked around some basketball before the break, and of course the Rockets. Astros back home. You watch at all?
I didn't get to watch any baseball this weekend, and I'm severely disappointed in that. But I'm kind of glad I didn't have to watch that debacle.
Just after we got done saying how the pitching staff doesn't look like it has any issues, how everybody's settled in, how the offense is kickstarted, they're playing great, and then you get the worst outing ever in the career of Gerrit Cole from a runs perspective. And then Colin McHugh, I was running around, and I turn on the radio in the car, and I hear Rangers 10, Astros 1. And I'm like, wait, they said 2-1, right? So I waited till after the break, and I was like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, Gerrit Cole happened and Colin McHugh happened and can't overcome that. And they're going to – you just hate having it back-to-back to a division foe on the road. They're going to have bad games. And plus, Arlington is just a dump of a field. Like, that's just – it might – it's Coors Field in Texas. It's literally the highest scoring ballpark in the majors, that's including Coors Field.
We were just there, and I looked at it, and in terms of like the aesthetics and how nice it looks fantastic. It looks like they don't need a new ballpark, but for some odd reason, and I don't know if it's kind of dug down or whatever, but you're right. The heat, it's always like roasting hot there.
Yeah.
And the ball travels well, but then lo and behold, I get home, I do some things, I turn on the TV, and here we go, ninth inning. Lisa's even dialed in. She's like, oh my God, they keep going and going and going. And then Springer hits the home run, and then they start putting more guys on base, and then it's a one-run game, and now the bases are loaded. I'm like, God, especially to the Rangers, you want to come back and win this game, and they have to take their closer out to get the final out, but they get the final out, and you're like, God. It just, again, it's one thing if that happens in Minnesota, but the fact that you've lost 2 of 3 in 2 straight series in Arlington is painful.
It really does suck because of it's a division foe and because it's a rivalry
and their fans are ugh.
Yeah. I'll admit I'm a bit distracted. We got a tweet from CJ.
All right,
he said the big news for the Texans uniform change, which I wasn't even aware that there was talk of a uniform change within the Texans organization. So that's exciting news, right?
Yeah.
Well, do you know what the big change is? They added the logo to the center of the jersey, right above like the names.
On the front or the back?
That's it. The logo represents our team. The logo represents our spirit. It's on our helmet. Now it's on our back.
It's on the back of the jersey?
You know how the Rockets have the gold tab to represent that they won a championship?
Two of them, yeah.
In NBA teams, they'll put a gold tab. Any team that's won a championship, you'll see that they have a gold tab on their jersey.
Collar, yep.
It's right there. And it's just a little Texans logo. That's the uniform change. That was what we saw, because I Googled it real quick. Texans uniform change, 2019. John McClain and other people like, big, you know, change is coming to the uniform. That is what this organization considers a uniform change, is adding a logo on the back above the player's name. And I mean, I'm talking like it's the size of a quarter or something. That is just ridiculous. It's when did this franchise start? 2002?
Yeah.
It's been 17 years of looking at the same uniform, the same colors, the same logo. Dude.
At some point, you got to wonder if it's laziness, not tradition. It's not tradition, it's laziness.
No, it's conservativeness more than anything.
I was going to say, it's this, they're just, the Texans just aren't a young, hip organization.
Can I give you an example? And it's a franchise that actually has been around longer than the Texans. Look at the Seahawks. Seahawks didn't have any of the winning traditions. And so what did they do? The minute that new, like Nike got involved, they were the first one to volunteer and say, let's do something different. Let's get a little crazy. They brought that neon green into the equation. They changed some of the different design elements. What you're showing me right now shouldn't even have been a press release.
It's literally, you know how they have the little NFL shield on the V when it comes to a point in the front? It's on the back. It's just the Texans logo. This is the dumbest, quote, uniform change I think I've ever heard of. This is no change. Like, I don't know
people were out there hoping there was somewhat like love you blue colored uniform. They were hoping
something
that
special in the works.
A different helmet.
No, they just went, man, we got all these damn patches laying around. What are we going to do with them? I don't know. Let's say it's a uniform change and just put the patches on the uniforms. That'll get rid of these patches and maybe that idiot at 97.5 will stop bitching about our uniforms because we changed them. Nope.
Well, then you'd have to go back to the idiot on 97.5 that complains about the roof being shut all the time. That's Charlie.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't. I mean, that's just awful, man. I love the Texans. They're my team that I root for as a fan. But this drives me insane. This and their inability to draft offensive linemen. But this.
Don't crap on them yet. Thursday's not here yet.
No.
There's a chance.
Oh, I can't wait.
So if you're going to change the unit,
awful.
What changes were you hoping for?
I mean, one, a more modern logo. That logo is 17 years old.
You don't like that logo.
I do not like that logo. I feel like it was designed on GeoCities websites or something. Like, it's got this old 2000. It feels 17 years old.
At this point, they just need practice at changing their uniform. That way they can have fans either praise it or crap on it. And that way they know to change it again or adjust it or whatever the case may be. They just need practice at changing uniforms because it just looks so old.
I think they just got to get more modern and think out of the box. Kind of like what I was saying about the Seahawks stuff.
Like, look at the Browns.
The Browns went from just boring-ass uniforms, and they spiced them up a little.
I feel like they could get away with
the Jets, what they did.
Like, yeah, they did well.
And it's not great, but you know what? It's something different. We get tired of looking at this isn't the Packers or the Bears where it's built on tradition. You don't have a tradition, Texans. I'm sorry.
Right.
But there's no reason to keep these same boring-ass missionary position uniforms around year after year. For what?
You know what they'd do? If they were really going to jazz it up, they would go with a metallic silver sparkly helmet with a red face mask and slightly tweak the red, white, and blue jerseys so they could look more like the Patriots. That would be their idea for jazzing it up even more.
You're probably right.
Some of the more clever ways that you... And you know what? The greatest thing about what Seattle did, people were buying that stuff up like crazy.
Yep.
Remember now their Thursday night jersey was that neon green with the blue sleeves?
See,
people love that.
When you talk about ideas to do, like the whole Color Rush concept was a novelty thing on Thursdays, and I'm not suggesting that every team should move to that, but that kind of thinking is exactly what this organization needs from a branding perspective. Just pure branding and marketing. That's the kind of thinking that they need, a younger, fresher, hipper look and feel to this organization, because it's old and it's crusty.
I'm going to give you two more. Okay,
because I gave you the Seahawks. Average, just like their record every year. Blech.
I'm going to give you the San Diego Padres, and I'm going to give you the San Antonio Spurs. Because both of them also were able to, and again, the millions of dollars they made from a marketing perspective, San Diego started to go with military-themed uniforms as their third uniform. They went with camo.
Mm-hmm.
They went with other colors. And people started going crazy. The Spurs, remember? They had the silver camo uniform. And then they were one of the first ones to just put the logo on the front of the jersey instead of San Antonio or Spurs. People went nuts for it. All it does is think, all you need is just a little forward thinking, and you could really make your franchise a lot of money and the league money as well.
This is what I love when people text and think that they're an authority on something. This guy put in this text, you just don't change a logo. Colors, style on a jersey, fine, but logo is logo. Really? How many iterations of the Patriots logo do you think there's been?
Remember, there was the old school Patriot hiking the football.
Dude, you change logos. Trust me. You don't change the name, but you change logos. You change designs.
Your point.
The Seahawks has changed. The Tampa Bay Buck has changed. The Jets have changed. All these teams change their logos except for the crusty-ass Texans. They just staying with it.
Or the ones that have tradition that follow them, right? So you've got the Celtics and the Lakers in the NBA.
Those have changed.
But you've got the Packers, like you said, and the Bears in the NFL. But the Yankees won't change. But other than that, and with all of the history that goes behind it, everybody changes.
Bro, look, I just really quickly Googled Celtic logos. You can see how many different iterations of the Celtic logo there has been.
Way back, sure.
Yeah, but I'm saying they change. Like, if you even look at the Astros. Look how many different styles of logos that the Astros have had.
Astros is a great example of a team that until they won the World Series recently, they didn't have any history debate, so they could do whatever the hell they want. Change colors, change everything. Remember,
but you know what they did? They went out and made it cool. This orange and the blue, like, it looks good. It's fresh. It's young. It's hip. Crusty-ass Texans.
Hey, man, you got a logo on the back of the
jersey.
Even
the Rockets
tried.
Be freaking
happy.
Like, I was looking at Astros uniform changes about every decade, about every 10 years, which is about right. Not every quarter of a century.
I mean,
I don't know why I'm so angry about this, by the way. I feel like this is maybe a little over the top. It just drives me nuts. And I don't even wear jerseys. It's not because, like, oh, I want to buy a new jersey.
Yeah, Nick, it's time to change the Chinese national team uniforms the Rockets wear, damn it.
Oh, don't get him started. I just get sick of
seeing. Don't get me started.
I just get sick of seeing the same old sorry uniform. There's no tradition. There's no history. It's just, I swear, it's the missionary position. Of let's get some doggy style in there. All right, that was too far.
Well, we started talking baseball and we ended up here. We've got plenty more to get to. And if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. It's open. You can reach us on Twitter as well. And don't start giving us all your suggestions for what to do with the uniforms. Anything would be better than just slapping a logo on the back of it. It's the usual suspects at ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, that was close. I thought that when we were going to get caught. You had just mentioned this earlier, but
about how good I am coming back from break.
The fact that Nick was normally when he'll say something real quick and go hot, and right as he said just that little something, you unloaded on the vending machine. No, but I was just like, well, you did say some other things though, and I was like,
no, I totally said the F word.
And I looked down, I was like, well, at least that little blue light wasn't on. That saved us that.
I always check when we're off mic.
Well, when he starts cursing right before we're coming back, and I got to turn your mics on, I got to say hot right away to let him know that is, you know, because otherwise he'll just keep cursing.
That's true.
That's the reason why I do that. I'm trying to stop the cursing from continuing. Now, sometimes that fails.
Fact. Yeah. 1000% fact.
Yeah.
I told y'all I'm in a bad mood.
What happened?
Just stuff.
The cat must have pooped somewhere in the house.
That's fine. He's
in your mouth, on the bed, where?
No, the cat did not poop in my mouth. Can we not start that rumor, please?
I haven't picked the. It's almost 2 hours. I've been really. I've been nice. I picked on him twice. Once.
Not like haymakers, but you've been
jabs.
Subtly,
yeah, yeah.
Subtly
yeah.
Trying
because
to get
they're tester jabs is what they are. Because I don't know how if he's gonna go off, if he's gonna pull out that piece in his bag and shoot me. I don't know what he's gonna do.
I'm just not in a good mood today.
Okay,
all right.
We don't have to talk about it.
And so certain things are testing my patience. And not being able to get a Diet Coke is one of
them. I'm going to get you a Diet Coke because I want to pick a fight with you.
I don't want one of Courtney's stale-ass Diet Cokes from the closet.
No, I'm going to get one from the vending machine.
I was like, they're bad. How?
I've
it won't
the
take
touch.
My quarters. I have $17 in change, and the son of a gun won't take a single bit of it. And I don't have any dollars. I have a five. I don't think it's too much to ask to have a vending machine that will take my money. George, you're going to go broke.
That is the
running
biggest
vending machines if you don't take people's money, bro.
You know you're old when you start a rant with, is it too much to ask?
Back in my day.
When I walked uphill barefoot in the snow both ways, we didn't do that. Is it too much to ask just to have a vending machine? machine that bends?
I just, yes, that's all I want. I just want to be able to get a Diet Coke or three or four during the show. I don't think that's too much to ask. And then I got guys like AJ. Why don't you just bring some, dumbass? I'm like, because everyone will steal them.
Well, at least he's polished himself up for his new job. the lingo.
I've known him 10
years. The
language
and the lingo is different now.
AJ could, like, he could be, it could change, we could change this to Hoffman Media. He's still going to talk to me like we're boys. He's not changing
it's
that.
It's not just you. I mean, the other day when he sent, like, the sixth revision of our schedule for the week out, I was like, hey, AJ, I was just wondering, are you going to revise the upcoming schedule? And real quick, he just got, F you! I was like, all right! We're on par. We're good. Look at Nick.
How'd you do that?
Boy, Nick just made you look not so good.
Because he's got dollars. I only have fives and change.
He walked right to the vending machine, got you an ice cold
Diet Coke. You got that
from
our vending machine?
Yeah, using change, too.
Oh! You lying son of a bitch.
Clearly that vending machine hates black people because you... It did not want to.
Lying son of a bitch.
Took my quarters.
No,
don't know why I didn't take your quarters.
No, there's no way. We're going together. You're going to show me.
Because you were a dick to the vending machine.
I know you had dollars. You lying bastard.
Yeah, I used a dollar. There was no way I was using change.
Oh, yeah. Shouldn't have admitted to
God,
it.
God, I would have been so bad.
I know. That, I wanted to go. I just didn't want to put you in a bad mood.
He said he's already there.
I told Partita, I'm like, watch, I'm going to tell him I use change.
Lost my mind. I was literally just because the dude's vending machine, his name is on the vending machine.
You got to text
George,
him. He's got his number. I'm going to call him straight up.
Your machine sucks,
No, I'm
going to
straight up call him. I'm serious. I'm going to call him.
I want to know how that goes.
He's actually a really nice guy. If you tell him, hey, man, it just, he'll fix it. The only problem is that vending machine is so old. Like, it's older than Joel.
I know.
That it'll break. Nice. It'll break every That's week. So nice. He'll fix it. It'll just break again.
Like Joel.
Yeah.
It's so much and you missed this, but yes. That's what old people do when they really want to make a statement about something that should be different than the way it used to be. So Barry used that. He said, is it really that much to ask?
Well, all I want. I just want
no, I'm straight
camera.
Calling that number because I feel like an old man. I really want that vending machine to work. And
like
I wanted to
look.
Yeah. I love taking jabs at you guys. Yeah. You guys get so mad.
Look, somebody said y'all need the one that takes debit cards. Exactly.
Yeah. Those
well,
are
yeah,
fancy.
Like exactly. The whole Eli Manning and what's the running back? Saquon Barkley, where you just flash the card with the chip.
You know what he's going to do? George is going to show up. You remember those old credit card machines that you swipe?
Yes.
It was the big thing.
And yeah. The carbon. The carbon.
He's going to tape
it.
One of those to the vending machine and be like, here you go, bro. All you got to do is grab a 3-copy carbon thing, put it in there, do your card. Like, get the hell out of here.
I don't want a credit card machine
that.
One.
I do.
Because I'll spend way too much money.
I literally...
He don't know how much money he'll make if he does put a credit card machine.
I have to carry cash because to use our vending machine. That's the only reason I would have cash.
You had a guy offer up a machine for you. Take him up on it.
Yeah, but I don't know what that meant. I'll be honest
with
you.
Honestly, most vending machines are free.
It was Ivan or somebody, and they were like, we'll give you a machine, but I don't know what that means. Does he want the contract? Because I can't make those decisions for Gal Media.
Exactly.
Is he just saying, I'll drop off...
If he's giving you the machine and you load it up.
And then we can fill it up. That's different. I'll figure that out. We'll put it in AJ's office. He ain't using all that room. We'll just put it in there. But I'm or in here. We could have a studio vending machine. That would be dope.
That would be really cool.
9 times out of 10, they'll give you the vending machine for free.
But then they
want
to fill it up.
Profits.
But that's the thing.
Right. And they charge the price they want to charge.
Yeah, I can't enter us into that on my own. That's got to be Gal and I don't know who else would run that. Laura?
Mr. Gal's going to be like, dude, your Diet Cokes are not that important.
Yeah, I ain't paying 50 cents for a Coke.
I told AJ,
you ain't getting no Coke.
I told AJ, if I ever do get a contract, it's going to be part of my rider is going to be a functioning, updated vending machine.
That was one thing
if
I always
want me to stick around.
Have you guys seen
not green M&Ms in the dressing room?
No, no, just I'm not that fancy. Give me something that will take my money. I'm trying to spend money, and I can't.
I always wondered in that. Have y'all seen that movie Moneyball and how that player was upset that he had to pay for a dollar for a Coke?
Yeah.
Was it David Justice? I think at the time.
I
want to know if that story was true.
I think it was.
I think it was.
Like, he was really upset.
Yeah.
He was a baseball player, and he was aggravated that he had to pay a dollar.
This is what I loved IT for, man, because I worked in IT for almost 20 years. So many technology companies, part of the way that they did business was they tried to make the work environment. They would have ping pong tables, pool tables, but they had kitchens that were fully stocked. Every kind of candy, fruit, food, drink. I mean, they had coffees, they had juices, Cokes, and it was all free, and they kept it stocked all the time.
I told you guys.
It was amazing.
Anybody that played, coached, or worked in the NBA, when they get back into the real world, I don't know how they function. because everything is free, from the gum to the Gatorade to the mints to the meals to the pre-meal snacks to, you know, soda, everything. And it's all accessible.
Yep.
Well, like, if it's dangerous for those players who, like, who are not stars, but they kind of were good in the NBA. Then they get retired and I'm like, dude, I'm not going to get this meal for free. Then it's like that 2 or 3 years after they've been retired where it hits them. Like, I'm not going to have to, I'm going to have to pay for everything. Even though I used to play in the NBA for 15 years.
They still hit up the team going, hey, can I get another case of that? And they're like, bro, you're not on the payroll anymore. Yeah. We don't have to. We're not worried about
I feel like certain players can get away with it. Like Hakeem could probably get away with a lot of free meals.
Chucky Brown ain't getting a case of Gatorade dropped off at the crib. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
Pete Chilcutt is not getting protein bars.
Exactly.
And shakes. Sorry. It's just not going to happen.
Sorry, Chili Pete. Justin said new logo should have the should be the severed arm and a sword of the Battle of Goliad flag for Texans independence. You can keep the missionary colors if that logo is chosen because it's badass. I wouldn't even mind, since we're going to call ourselves the Texans. Mm-hmm. Be kind of dope if they changed it from a horn, which is the Longhorns, which is what they did. Maybe put the cannon and put come and take it on the side. That would be dope. Would love that.
Put like to go the
come
route.
And take it cannon, switch it to black and white, maybe do something different, like some shades of gray, 50 of them, I don't care. Let's make it sexual, whatever.
Or go the route of minor league baseball and get like a badass, tough-looking cartoon character or something like that with a cowboy hat on or something like that, or some kind of outfit like that where the logo is cool enough you'd wear it on hats and things like that, and it had kind of a mean streak looking to it maybe.
Okay.
So I'd be cool, you know, because minor league baseball.
I would absolutely love come and take it. That would be just badass. The cannon, because that's so Texas. That's like literally the most Texas thing. Yeah, that would be cool, but never gonna happen.
I got someone that I think's gonna ask you if you want to see a wombat on a uniform.
What?
We'll see.
Open
up hour number three. Also, coming back from the break, we're going to have a chance for you to win something. So be prepared for that. And it's good. It's really good. So be prepared as we give back to the suspects. We've got 2 hours in the books. We have 1 hour to go still of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects at CSPN 97.5.